Welcome to the Endurance Coachpreneur Podcast, hosted by me, Coach Michelle Lake. This is the show that helps endurance coaches bridge the gap from hobby to creating a dream, impact-filled, and profitable coaching business. We will discuss all things endurance business, including time management, marketing, mindset, growing your community of engaged athletes, all while increasing impact and profitability. Listen here to grow your athlete roster of ideal, perfect-for-you athletes while bringing home more income for you and your family. Endurance coaching is already your dream job. Let's make it a full-time reality. Welcome back to the Endurance Coachpreneur. I can't believe it, but we're on episode 14. This should come out in early April, I think. It's mid-March right now. I'm getting ahead before spring break on some episodes. And something that came up that I wanted to talk about was five things that I am over. You know, it's self-reflection. It's what are things that maybe caused bigger problems in the past that I've been working through, but I thought it would be useful to pass on to you guys the things that I am over doing, thinking, whatever it may be. But let's get started. So number one thing, the first thing that I am over is thinking that every athlete race result will result in a dream outcome. So every time an athlete of mine races, that they're going to have the race of their lives. And I really struggled with this one for many years. And I would, to be honest, I still struggle with it a bit. But this is where you go to watch a race and you have like five athletes racing and you expect that every single one of them is going to have the race of their life all at once. Now, it did happen to me once. I had seven people racing in an Ironman, and all seven exceeded the goals or expectations of what we wanted. So that was pretty awesome. And I got to see everybody finish, and it was just one of those days that I'll never forget. But as much as every race morning feels like Christmas morning with so much anticipation and excitement, and no matter how hard you coach them and how much work and how much you put behind their plan and you make sure to answer every question and they follow the plan and they're just really ready for the race, there still will be times that the race doesn't go as planned. And a lot of times it can just be explained by that there's good days and bad days. There's a reason why pros still races is that we don't just pick their ranking, you know, their PTO ranking for triathletes or their fastest marathon time or whatever, and just decide who's going to win the race before it happens. That's not how it works. There's the training, there's the race day conditions, and there's just good luck and bad luck. And there's just some days athletes don't do well, and some days athletes do great. And if your athlete doesn't have the best day of their life, that's okay. I realize that some races are going to be good, some are bad, and some are just okay. It's part of the reality of racing, and race results don't indicate my ability to coach. That's the big part there. Race results do not indicate my ability to coach. So for the newer coaches out there, or even ones that have been around like me for like 14 years, long time, there's going to be days where your athletes really struggle, and we can't tie our self-worth, or even, you know, for a while, I thought that all my results should be the marketing that I need. I don't need to do any more marketing than what my athletes do. And that's a problem because guess what? Athletes don't always have great races. It is absolutely something that as much as the athlete even wants to control, they can't control everything that happens on race day. And just like we can't control what happens to them on race day, it's pretty much mostly out of our control once the gun goes off for the beginning of the race. So we cannot feel like we're not worthy of being a coach if an athlete has a bad day, because not every day is going to be a dream outcome. So that's number one, thinking that every athlete race result is going to be a dream outcome is just impossible. So I'm over it because guess what? I still feel it. I had a couple athletes racing this weekend and majority of them did really well. We had PRs, we had podiums, we had all kinds of happy athletes, and some were just like, they were okay races, weren't their best, and that's okay. That's going to happen. So that's the first one. The second one is that worrying that I am annoying someone when I follow up. So this, now we're going to switch over into kind of sales and marketing, but I can't tell you how many times I've followed up with someone And they started working with me after I just had one more conversation. If we let it go, they may have never worked with me. Human relationships require following up. Not everyone is going to remember to follow up. People forget. People may just need a tiny little nudge. People may be like, wow, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's a good idea. For instance, let's say you're working with an athlete for 3 years and then they decide they want to take the winter off because, I don't know, maybe they're getting surgery or something. And now it's February and they said they want to start again in March. Guess what? Follow up. You may even want to follow up with people that you work with like 5 years ago. Follow up. I follow up because I really want to work with someone. It's from a feeling of wanting to serve, which is a good feeling. I am not annoying them. I mean, sure, maybe 1 out of 100 times you're annoying someone, but follow up has nothing to do with annoying. And let's dig deeper to the feelings, okay? So why are you scared of following up? Is it that you fear rejection? Are you fearing that they're going to say no to you? Well, that's in a past episode. I can't remember which one. But I talked about how athletes are going to tell you no all the time. So if you're scared of that no, then you're limiting your potential to work with athletes, right? So we've got to follow up. And it shows that you care. It shows that you want to work with them too. It shows that you remember what you said, that you were going to follow up with them, or that you remember that they said they wanted to start again in March. So number two thing I'm over is worrying about that I'm annoying someone when I follow up. Because guess what? Even today I had to write an email and I was like, ugh, I've got to follow up. And it's just part of business. It's just part of business. It's just part of coaching. It's just part of sales, whatever you want to call it. It's just what we do. So that's number two. So the third one is holding back what I want to really say because I'm worried about judgment. So again, we're going back to what people think or rejection or judgment, but I need to say what I want to say because it's going to help me attract my perfect person. Speaking my truth is showing the world the real me. If someone is offended, they were never going to work with me anyways. So if I have something to say that's even semi-controversial, I'm going to say it. Because I'm over worrying about what other people think about me. It doesn't matter. They weren't going to work with me anyways. If I'm worried about them unfollowing me because of something I'm putting on social media, we're in real trouble because guess what? They weren't going to hire me anyways. So I'm fighting with somebody fighting internally with a situation that I have, again, no control over, and they weren't going to be my athlete anyways. But the beauty of speaking your truth is now you're connecting so much better with people that are your right people. And it gives you the opportunity to be more of a leader in the space, to be more motivational. You need to be yourself. And honestly, almost most importantly is because that's the real you. If you're being something that's not you, then you're being fake. And that's not going to come across great either. You've got to be comfortable being yourself. And this is something I remind myself daily. I remind my coaches in the Dream to Six. And it's just something we always have to remember is how can I be more myself, show more of me to my people and that they show more of them. I've probably said this 15 times on these podcasts already, but it's so important that we give athletes the opportunity to get to know us. And by being our full selves and saying what we want to and without the fear of judgment allows them to actually get to know you. And that is so powerful because connection is what all humans crave. And athletes pick coaches so many times because they connect with someone. It could be that you're from the same area. It could be that you both have the same philosophy. I hired a coach because she had been through IVF and did an Ironman less than a year after having her baby, and I wanted to do the same thing. So if she had never talked about those things, would have never hired her. People want to hear who you really are, and they want to hear your real thoughts, and it's so important. We need to connect. So that's number three, holding back. I'm going to make sure I don't get these out of order. Holding back what I want to really say because I'm worried about judgment. I'm over that. Over it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to care what people think. So number four is thinking my business will always be fun. I went through a rough patch a few weeks ago where business wasn't fun for a bit. And, you know, I won't get into the details, but there's going to be times when business is not fun. But there are going to be times when business is so fun. The impact you're creating. Let's go back to that time when those seven athletes all had wonderful results. Of course, we cannot assume it's going to happen, but when it does happen, it was beautiful. All that impact, all that happiness, all those goals achieved. That was so awesome. But there's going to also be times when it is a struggle, when things are not going your way. You're going to lose a favorite athlete. You're going to struggle with cash flow because, you know, you're down on your numbers. It could be that you and a sponsor have an issue that you've been working with. It could be one of your assistant coaches and you are not seeing eye to eye and you're just really struggling. I cannot tell you how many struggles you will have, and I can't tell you which ones they will be, but it is going to be part of the business. And you have to make that choice, like the title of the podcast. You have to choose to be a coachpreneur, and you have to own that owning your own business is going to have ups and downs, and that's okay. And expect them. And expect them is not necessarily something to be like a problem is not something that is something you should be depressed about. Yeah, maybe it's stressful, whatever, but it's not really something that you lose your mind over. But instead, it's something that you're like, well, how do I solve this problem? How do I fix it? How can I be really curious to how I can figure out how to solve this problem? Instead of just saying like, oh, woe is me, business ownership is not for me. Because I'll tell you, that is a very common mindset problem that many coaches have is when something goes wrong, we instantly go, why am I doing this? I'm going to quit. I hear that a lot. And honestly, it's happened to me. Something happened even like last week where I decided I was just going to quit, which is so stupid. I'm like, I give up. It's normal to think that way. It's our brain protecting us, and then quickly get over that thought. Like, nope, you're not quitting. That's ridiculous. Bad things are going to happen. And go to the point where you actually expect things to go wrong so you're not shocked by them and that you're not thinking of quitting, because you're like, you know what? Things are going to go wrong. I am going to test something out and it's not going to get anybody to sign up for it. I am going to create a post and it's going to get zero engagement. I am going to lose that favorite athlete, because guess what? Athletes don't stay with coaches forever. I mean, they can, but that doesn't happen all the time. And it's not something to be stressed over when something goes wrong, but a challenge to rise up to. So, you know, I love athletic analogies. And one of my favorite ones is shifting your thoughts about heat and training and racing. And I read a study. It was some sort of meta study, I think. And I'm not going to be able to quote it, but it was like 10 years ago. And I was about to race Ironman 70.3 Puerto Rico, where I'd been in the winter, and there it's 80 degrees and humid and hot, and I'm typically not so great in the heat. And the study basically said, you know, the people that succeed in the heat are ones that look at the heat not as something that's going to bring them down and beat them, but a challenge that they can rise up to. So it's like, look, I know it's going to be hot race day and it's going to be a challenge, but I can do this. Those are the people that succeed better than those that are like, ugh, I suck at the heat. This is going to be awful. True. You may struggle in the heat more than the average person, but if your mindset going in is that you're going to fail, you're going to fail. So instead, what I tell my coaches, I want you to think about that there are going to be problems. Things are going to go wrong, and that's okay. Let's think of these things as challenges that we're going to rise up to and show how we've grown as business owners, not something to be like, ugh, I quit. I'm done. I suck. I'm over. Right. So number four, thinking my business will always be fun is something I'm over. I'm working towards it. But like I said, even last week, I decided that I was going to quit for about 5 seconds. And then I got over it pretty quickly. Okay. And the last one is a pretty general one. And I'm probably going to go a little bit more in depth in this one, but it's procrastination. Your girl here struggles with procrastination. And I think 95% of business owners do, or just people in general. Procrastination is a major problem. So I want to break procrastination up into three separate categories. And I want you to think about, is there something on your to-do list that you're procrastinating? So let's break it into three things, and then let's talk about how we can get over this procrastination thing, because guess what? I have a problem with it, but I have been working and it is getting better. So the first one is, are you trying to be perfect? Is procrastination really perfectionism? I actually think they're like best friends that go hand in hand. Much of procrastination is just that you're not willing to start because it can't be perfect. So because, you know, I love athletic analogies again, I like to equate this one to the athlete that won't start their long run because it can't be perfect. So they won't do it at all. Or they will procrastinate it to the next day where they suddenly think the conditions will be perfect for it, right? So, or it's like, well, this is why self-coaching is so bad. It's like, well, I was going to do my long run today, but it's a little windy, but tomorrow morning will be better. And then tomorrow morning happens and you don't have the full time, so you don't do it then either. You just keep using perfectionism as an excuse for why you're not even getting started. So that's the first bucket is it a perfection problem that you're having? The second one is whatever you're putting off is just not important. Did you write it down because you felt obligated to get it done? Was it something that somebody else wanted you to do, but wasn't really necessary? Was it something that just wasn't important? You know, it just keeps getting put off. Guess what? Just take it off your list. So number two, if it's not important, let's not do it. Or let's delegate it to somebody. How about that? If it's, you know, you don't have time to do it, but somebody else does, give it to somebody else. So if sometimes things that get procrastinated on are things that just aren't that important. And the third one is that sometimes you just need to like buckle up and get it done. Action always feels better than procrastination. Have you ever like had a homework assignment or a project that you won't start, and then as soon as you start doing it, you feel better, even though you only did like 5 seconds of it? How about you just get started on that thing that you keep procrastinating? Like, just do it now. I am over it, and I've been really getting better at some things that I've been chronically procrastinating, and it feels so good when you just take that first action and get it started. If you feel so much better just getting going. So to review on the procrastination, three things. Is it really perfection? That's one bucket. Another one is it's just not important. So maybe you should delegate it or just not do it at all. Or three, let's just suck it up and start taking some action on it. I'm really over procrastination. And I like to have a to-do list that flows. Like if I look at my to-do list from a week ago, I don't want to have anything on it again today that was on it a week ago. I want to continually check things off, get them done, delegate them if they're not important. If I feel like perfectionism is coming on, I just get started on it. That may not be done, but at least I got started on it. And if it's something that's really bothering me, we got to go. It's not going to get better with time. You just got to get started. So those are the five things that I am over. Let me do a quick review. The first one is thinking that every athlete race result is going to be perfect. The second is worrying that I'm annoying people when I follow up. The third is holding back what I really want to say because I'm worried about what people will think. Number four is thinking that my business will always be fun. Couldn't even read my handwriting. Sorry about that. And number five is just that big topic of procrastination. So I'm over those things. Is there something that you're over? Send me a DM. I will help you stay accountable to being over it. And if any of these resonated, let me know. I hope they are helping. This episode is coming out, I believe, the first week of April, and we will be launching our new program very soon then. And it's going to be called Your First Five Athletes. So many of the people listening to this podcast have bigger businesses. This program may not apply, but if you're a newer coach and you're like, I need help, but I'm not sure I want the intensive Dream to Six program, this may work for you. So send me a DM if you're interested. Look at my Instagram. I will be posting about this quite a bit, but I'm looking right now, you know, recording this in mid-March, that this will launch somewhere in mid-April. And it's going to be a lower priced option. And it's going to be something that's not quite as intensive, but very specifically for people with their first like 5 to 10 athletes. So you're looking to grow, you want to have a bigger business, but you're still pretty new at this and you want to just get started at growing, but you're not quite at the, like, I'm a 10 out of 10. I'm ready to go full time. I'm ready to create I'm going to retire as a coach in the next few years. Those kind of people, their dream to six. But if you're a newer coach and you're like, wow, I'd really like to get some more help here, this is going to be totally up your alley. And it's going to be so helpful to get you more athletes, get you more confident business set up, feeling really good about the path you're making or taking with your business while also not spending so much time. We want to make it that you're getting impact, you're getting some nice side income, you're growing your skills as a coach, but it's not something that's taking every waking hour to coach just a few athletes. So that's going to be who this is for. And it's called Your First 5 Athletes, but that should be coming out sometime in mid-April, so right after this episode. So I'm really excited to talk about it. If you want to learn more, go to Instagram, send me a DM, and just say, hey, looking for more information on your first 5 athletes, or just like, let's start a chat. Let's talk about it. So that's it for this episode. I hope you have a great spring for my Northern Hemisphere people. And I guess it's coming into fall in the Southern Hemisphere. We've got lots of listeners down in Australia, actually. So that's awesome. And have a great week. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode or have any feedback, DM me at Coach Michelle Lake. That's Michelle with 2 L's on Instagram. Also, take time to leave me a review if you enjoyed it. Until next time, coaches. Let's get out there, grow who you know, take action, and keep changing the lives of our athletes.